one of the struggles in general right now, and I'll focus specifically on early career talent because that's where I spend my time, but it's, you have a whole bunch of people who got trapped at home for multiple years. You know, all the digital interactions, and then you layer COVID on top of it, really created a struggle for this generation that's coming out of college.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward.
Welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, where we interview the learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm Shanir Mershon, your guest host, and I am a relationship manager with Training Pros, the sponsor of this podcast. Training Pros is a learning and development contract staffing company. We like to say, when you have more projects than people, let us help you find the best consultant to start your project with confidence. I have a very special guest joining me today, someone that I've had the pleasure of knowing for a little bit now, and I'd love to introduce you to Steve Bullington, the Director of Solution Engineering Talent Development at Salesforce. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes, we are so happy that you are here today. Thank you so much. You know, Steve, would you just take a little bit of time and introduce yourself to our audience, share a little bit about who you are, what you do?
Sure. As you said, I am the Director of Solution Engineering Talent Development at Salesforce. And what that very long title means is I help really develop the next generation of solution engineers. Our primary program, we call it Scout Academy. It's an early career professional program for recent college grads where we train them on the solution engineering role for 5 months. And what that job is, that's the really smart person who comes in with the account executive and figures out where the intersection of the business outcomes and the technology lie, and then come back and show them what the options might look like. And then the other program that we run is for internal candidates who want to move into solution engineering. We call it RISE, stands for Readying Internal Solutions Engineers. And kind of the same thing, a little slightly different flavor in how it's executed. But the whole idea is, how do we bring more voices, diverse voices into the solution engineering realm in Salesforce? And then my belief is, how do we do that on a broader scale as well?
Oh, okay. Sounds very rewarding work for sure. Awesome. Well, you know, I think we've all had our own journey on how we landed in L&D. So I'm curious, tell me a little bit about how you found your way to L&D and maybe what drew you to it in the first place.
Yeah. I'm not sure anyone goes to college to be in learning and development. I might be wrong unless they start in education, but I actually started my career in sales. You know, I was in sales and sales leadership for 30 years, and the majority of that in leadership. I became a sales manager at 25. And what I found was the part of the job that was most fulfilling to me and that I felt like I was probably best at was the training and development piece of it. And so, you know, I always put a lot of emphasis on making sure that my teammates were really well versed and had the opportunity and the tools to be successful. And so about 11 years ago, I decided that I really wanted the next phase of my career to really be focused on training and development. So I was very fortunate that I had a mentor who ran the master's program that I graduated from, gave me the opportunity to teach a class, a summer school class, and kind of give it a try. And then I had an opportunity to go to work for a software company that was based here in Indianapolis called Interactive Intelligence. That the chief revenue officer wanted to start a sales university for recent college grads and train them in the same thing. How do you diversify your talent? And so I was thrilled to get that job, built out a whole sales university, ran two cohorts, ran our first summer of sales internships. And as so often happens in technology, we were bought by one of our competitors and they didn't want to do that anymore. So sure. I took over for that company, global sales onboarding, So I was doing new AESE onboarding every 6 to 8 weeks. Great job, but very transactional compared to an early career talent program where you're locked in a room with these folks for months on end and really get to know them. And I found that was really what rang my bell. And so one of my colleagues at the time thought he was being funny and sent me a job posting and said, "Hey, this sounds like what you used to do." And I clicked on it, and that was over 6 years ago. And I came to Salesforce to help start the Scout Academy program with several colleagues. And the rest, as they say, is history. So
I was just thinking the same thing.
But we're now on our 13th cohort. Our 13th cohort just started this week. We've got 240 people graduate our program in the last 6 years. And probably the numbers that I'm most proud of is that over 58% of our graduates have been women and 53% have been from underrepresented groups. So we're truly moving the bar a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations on that. And as a woman-owned organization, we find that incredibly important as well. So kudos to you. So you mentioned several changes throughout your career, right? Different roles, things like that. And so if you think about what have been some of the most impactful changes that you've seen in L&D in the last several years?
I really think it's two things. They almost go hand in hand, and that's technology and multi-generational. Because we've had to shift, you know, for a variety of reasons, including COVID and everything else, to incorporating more tools like we're on here on Zoom. And also that shift has supported the multi-generational aspect from it. As Gen Z comes in, and Gen Z and the millennials are going to basically be the majority of the workforce, I think this year or next. So they have those expectations. They're digital natives. They were brought up with phones in their hand and computers in their heads. And when you put those two things together, it really has had to change the approach that we had. It's not now all about, hey, let's pull everybody into some central location and shoot fire hoses at them for 5 days. We can do a lot more things in real time and in the right place, whether it's in the CRM that, as I'm working through this deal, I have access to on-demand training, you know, mobile phone, you know, all these tools have become much more empowering as needed versus getting shipped off to some training class somewhere in the middle of Timbuktu.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
Yeah, I know that makes sense. And it is the best way that the learners are learning right now. So if you think about current state, I'll shift gears a little bit. So tell me what you predict. What do you think is going to be seen in the L&D space? Where's it headed in the next maybe 5 to 10 years?
Well, the easy answer is AI, and that's because that's the answer. And I think the question is, we don't know what that means yet. I was having a conversation earlier today we're talking about just the general state of the technology economy. And I said, one of the challenges that came up was this thing got introduced and it became a distraction for our every organization that, okay, how do we use this thing? Do I go to OpenAI and sign a contract? Do I build my own models? All this other thing. And I truly believe that the winners in the world of AI around L&D are going to be the partners that companies bring to the table that have incorporated AI into the tools they're already using. So if you think about an LMS, or you think about a CRM system, or you think about an HR management system. If I'm a heating and air conditioning company, I don't need to go build a large language model, but I need the partners that I already have entrusted to do business with to bring those tools to bear on the things that we're already doing. And so that's going to be the big shift in the next 3 to 4 years is how do the all these partners that we do business with bring those tools and increase that productivity versus going to Google or OpenAI or any of these other companies and saying, hey, yeah, I want to build this large language model. Because the vast majority of businesses, unless they're in that tech space, don't need to invest in building their own models.
No, I think that's a completely valid and accurate point. I think that lends also to the piece around skills. And our, as an example, our talent pool, we've been having conversations with them around leveraging the tools, the AI tools, and making sure that they're current and up to date so that they can partner with our clients and bring that value to them. So if you think about skills, Steve, what would you say, what skills or roles are right now are the hardest for you to find great talent for?
One of the struggles in general right now, and pretend I'll focus specifically on early career talent because that's where I spend my time, but it's you have a whole bunch of people who got trapped at home for multiple years. And on top of it, they were our digital natives, so they were used to having their face in front of them, a screen of some size. And that whole human connection, human communication, the confidence to walk into a room where there's 200 people and you don't know anyone, that came from, certainly in the time that I was in school, that of going through a fraternity rush or going to join a campus organization or whatever, where you were regularly immersed in a room where you didn't know anybody. And I think both all the digital interactions and then you layer COVID on top of it really created a struggle for this generation that's coming out of college. And so it's really important that colleges start to recognize that and offer those opportunities. And certainly for programs like ours, where we're bringing in these recent college grads, we've got to make sure that we create opportunities for them to build those muscles, because they were at a disadvantage already before COVID, and COVID, I think, just exacerbated it.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent point. And, you know, I continue to hear other companies and people mention that, just the transition back, right? Transition, figuring out how to do that and realizing that that personal human connection and how important that is and your ability to do that. So spot on. So I'll shift gears a little bit. Tell me, what's your favorite source for industry news or information that you'd like to share with our audience?
I am a giant podcast guy. I did a quick calculation not too long ago, and I listened to somewhere north of 400 hours of podcasts last year. And so the thing that I love about that is you can have a very broad palette that you can draw from, and yet you get access to some of the very best minds in the world. So, you know, one that I regularly go to is Rethinking with Adam Grant. I love having access to him and his guests every week. Like, I love his books. I've read all of his books, but you only get a book every couple of years. Well, the podcast, you get a little piece of him every single week. My recommendation to the folks I work with all the time is get in a regular habit. Yeah, you don't need to listen to multiple hours a day necessarily like I do, but find the ones that resonate with you and or find a couple that kind of give you that breadth that can help you have a broader perspective. And they don't all have to be work. Some can be really fun too. So I'm listening to one on right now by Malcolm Gladwell. It's about Medal of Honor winners, which is magnificent. And it's incredibly well done, but obviously does not have a direct correlation back to my daily job.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
I also love that you can access those at any time, right? They're very easy, accessible, quick, and usually. But you did mention books, right? So if you think about that, what's one book that you think that every L&D leader or somebody who's looking to get into L&D leadership should read?
One that I recently read this year and started using actually in our program is called Think Faster, Talk Smarter by Matt Abrams from Stanford. And his point, and he shares a lot of skills around it, but the overall point behind it is we actually spend more time speaking extemporaneously than we do in written form or a speech that's been, that we've prepared or a presentation that we've scripted out. And yet we spend so little time practicing those extemporaneous speaking skills. We've actually, my partner I run our program with actually created a tool that we cribbed from public speaking that we load all the names in, and then he's got probably 200 questions, and we just hit the button and it rolls and spins and said, okay, you've got 3 minutes. Talk about the role that dairy plays in the daily diet, you know, and things that are totally not related, but you need to get good at that. And certainly with our folks, so much of their conversations with customers, I mean, they're not prepared. They can't prepare for. So that book has had a real positive impact on me. And regardless of your role, has some really great tips and techniques that can help anybody professional.
No, I love that. And I think I'll be picking up a copy very soon.
Got a podcast for it too. So you got both.
Perfect. You have options, which is what we're all about anymore. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining our show today.
It was my pleasure. I very much appreciated it.
Yeah, no, and we absolutely appreciate you and your time. And as a gift to you for being on our podcast, Training Pros is actually going to plant 5 trees in your name. Our charity is World Reforestation. So we've actually planted over 3,500 trees to date around the world. And so as a thank you, we'll plant 5 trees in your name and just a little gift of gratitude for joining us today on the Learning Leader Spotlight podcast.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Learning Leader Spotlight.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.